This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Welcome to all of you who are joining us today. It is Lunch with Meredith and Felice, and I have my co-host, Meredith Curtis, on the line today. Welcome, Meredith.
Hi, Felice. Thanks for having me, and hey, everyone. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and today we're going to talk about curriculum choices, and that is such a heavy topic for so many people who are concerned about selecting curriculum, especially if you're new to homeschooling, but also for people who have homeschooled for many years and just wonder, oh my gosh, am I ruining my children by my collection, my curriculum choices, which I heard a mom say the other day, and we had a great conversation about that. So Meredith, before we begin, would you please lift us up in prayer, and for all of those who are listening, not only live, but also in the archive?
I would love to. Father, we love you with all of our hearts, and we so much want to be able to purchase curriculum that will equip our children for the life you've called them to live, and that will educate them and also build godly character in their life and help them to grow closer to you. So God, would you lead us? Would you direct us? I pray for anointing on Felice and I as we share from our mistakes and our successes, and we would give godly counsel. And Lord, we love you again, and I thank you for every family that is listening. I pray, Lord, that you would lead us in the right direction, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just thank you for that, Meredith, because, you know, previous to the show, as usual, there are so many things that are happening in our lives. And I know you have a lot of going on in your home as well. So, you know, I just want to talk today about curriculum selections and also the looming question that is hanging out there. It's almost like this dark cloud with Common Core. And we will get to Common Core in a bit. But first, I want to discuss with Meredith some things that we found in the many years that we've homeschooled that, you know, we find over and over again that happen, either mistakes we've made or that we hear a common thread among other people that have, you know, really caused them to question whether they want to continue homeschooling, which is really sad to me, as well as, you know, make them feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm ruining my kids, and they're going to hate school, and they're never going to be prepared for life. So, Meredith, let's start with you first with what one of the things that you consider to be a problem that some of the parents face when they're choosing curriculum.
Okay, I'd love to do that. One of the biggest mistakes that I've ever made is a curriculum that is packaged well, but when you get it home, it's not as great as the packaging. The packaging is much better than the curriculum. And the curriculums that I have found that have been absolutely amazing and I've loved have tended to be curriculums written by homeschool moms who've created something that works well at home with their children. A lot of times the really slick packaging is done by usually companies that are supplying the public schools, and then they're creating something for, you know, homeschools because they want to make money, not necessarily because it's a great educational product. So that's one thing that I have, you know, over the years been disappointed. I've come home and I've realized, oh, my goodness, this is the cutest book, but there's not much to it, or this is the cutest, you know, curriculum. The pictures are adorable, but the assignments, they're not really helping. My daughter learned to write, or my daughter learned to learn phonics, or et cetera, et cetera. So that has been something that I have learned, to not purchase something because it's in a cute package or because the pictures are adorable, but to find out from other moms what has worked for them and what has not worked for them and what they recommend. And, you know, a lot of times when I'm interested in a curriculum, I'll actually look at it several times and talk to different people before I purchase it. And one of the things, you know, I discovered after going to conventions was that many of the workshops were workshops to sell a product. And so, you know, I would go thinking, oh, I'm going to learn how to speak Spanish. But then I would go to the workshop and realize, oh, they're just teaching, they're selling their Spanish curriculum, and it, you know, it is, they're selling it to me. And so they're actually making me feel like the only way to teach Spanish is to use their curriculum. And so not all workshops are like that, and many vendors are very honest, and they say, you know, there's also this and there's also this. But so you have to be aware when you're in some of those workshops that you're in a sales pitch rather than a workshop. And I just say that because products are very different, and sometimes I'll sit in on a product that even would work really well, but it's not something that I would ever do. And an example of that is, like, I think Matthew C. is one of the best math curriculums out there, but I would never pull out the manipulatives and use them. It's just not who I am. It's not my personality. I'm very bad at that. And so, I, you know, when I used Matthew C., that I never even opened the manipulatives. And so, you know, I have to realize, too, as I purchase curriculum, what am I going to really use and what am I not going to use? Even if something is the most amazing curriculum in the world, if I'm not going to use it, if I'm not going to do it, then it's silly for me to buy it thinking that somehow there's going to be a miracle and I'm going to change the way I homeschool. So
I love
you know,
that.
That's just being honest. So, and I do. Like, I recommend Matthew C. to everyone because I think it's so
see,
wonderful.
That's so funny, and
but
I've used it,
I
and
myself
that's one
don't.
That I don't like. Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
really?
Isn't that funny? Yeah. It's not one I tried it. It actually, let me take that back. It worked well for Neil, but it did not work well for Nicholas. So that's one of the things I'm going to talk about, that, you know, one size does not fit all.
Right.
You know, and I've used Saxon and I've used Chalk Dust and, you know, and now I've got another one that I'm really liking, and that's Tablet Class, which is an online virtual one with printables and things like that that I'm really liking. They really explain things really well for math. But, so, you know, and that's one of the things, I don't even think that I'm leaving us enough time, but I'm going to try to give us, to give you some of Meredith and my, just off the top of our heads, you know, math curriculum that we've used and liked. And when my kids are young, do you use Saxon when your kids are younger? Let's just do math now.
Okay, math?
I mean, not Saxon. I mean, math you see when they're younger.
I use, when they're younger, Bob Jones, till fourth grade.
Okay.
Because when I started homeschooling, they were the only brightly colored consumable math books. So the kids could write right in the book. And then I used Saxon for a long time until my fourth daughter, she just wasn't a math person. And I ended up using teaching textbooks for her in the later part of high school. And now her senior year, she's doing calculus again with Saxon. But that was kind of our thing for a long time, was Bob Jones till fourth grade, then Saxon through calculus. But both Jimmy and Shine, since I bought teaching textbooks for Shine, and it was so expensive, Jimmy's actually done Algebra 2 and pre-calculus with teaching textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And Shine really likes a teacher, and so this year she actually has a math tutor for calculus because she just doesn't, she's really my only one that has not been able to do math independently. She's needed a lot of help. So, but the
That's
rest
so
of just
great.
Kind of, yeah. So, So that's pretty much. Jimmy will go back to Saxon next year for calculus.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing that I think, you know, depending on the child, you've got to look at that. And so one of the mistakes that I've seen is that the planning and scheduling, either you plan too much or too little, or you don't plan for the day. And I think, you know, sometimes you look at the big picture and we'll take a math book, because we've been talking about math, and say, okay, let's break that up. And I used Saxon when they were younger, and then when they got into the higher grades, we needed more explanation to Meredith. So I had switched to Matthew C., and then I ended up switching to Chalk Dust, which I loved because that is a teacher in a video series. It's expensive. And that's one of the reasons I like the tablet class. It's tabletclass.com because it is very affordable, and there's a math instructor. You don't see him, but he explains everything really well. So let's say you take that math book or class and say, okay, we're going to do one lesson a day, and don't give yourself any leeway if that is going to take much longer. You'll kind of have to like adjust that if your kids are taking longer to do the lesson, because that's what's happened this year. They're in geometry with Chalk Dust, and it's taken them longer than my allotted time. So I feel like we're not, you feel like a failure because you're not finishing everything you need to finish for that day. So I had to go back and figure in a time like every couple of weeks that is a free day where they can do some catch-up work, and that's pretty much what they need. So, you know, either you've planned way too much that's not, you're not able to fit that in and you're overwhelmed, or you've planned way too little. And also, you know, you haven't planned. You've just said, oh, well, here's our math book and we're just going to get through this. And then you find out mid-year that, oh my gosh, you know, it's January and we're only on lesson two, you know, section two or chapter two. So you're going to have to adjust. And, you know, for us, I don't mind going into the summer a little bit. I know, like, my daughter does not, she doesn't stop homeschooling. She takes breaks because her kids are littler. And she said, you know, summer's so hot that, you know, they take that time to do a lot of inside kind of things. And then in the spring and in the winter months where it's nicer here in Florida, that's when they plan a lot of field trips and things like that. So you have to do what, you know, what works for your family, but I think planning is very important, don't you, Meredith?
I agree with that. And, you know, sometimes I have gotten really busy. I used to be so absolutely faithful of checking their math every single day, but as they got older in high school, I would let them check their own math and then, you know, grade their own tests. And one day, I mean, in the middle of the school year, I hadn't been checking over Shine's math for several months, and I, you know, pulled out her math and looked at her test grades, and she wasn't getting anything. So we had to, like, literally start again, and it was the book. And so it was Saxon, which has worked wonderful for my other children. So we had to get another book, and we got teaching textbooks, and then we had to start over in the middle of the year. So, you know, we ended up 2 years on one course. And that was fine because I said, we're not going to hurry. We've just got to take our time because you're not going to be able to go to the next math if you don't know this. And that's the thing about math, since we're talking about math. Math is incremental. So if you're not getting the 80s or 90s in math, you can't learn the next level of math, and it's worth it to take it slower or even redo a year of math. I've redone years of math using a different textbook. If we finish a year of math and my kids just don't get it, why on earth would I move forward? Because they're set up for failure for the next year. If they don't get, you know, pre-algebra, they're not going to get algebra. So we just take our time if we need to. And other times we just sail along very smoothly and quickly. So, I think you have to realize with things like math that are incremental, you can't just say, oh, well, they didn't get this, so maybe next year will be better. No, next year will not be better. It will be worse. So unlike history or science where they can learn, you know, different things, different years, and it's not really that important what they learn when. With math, it really is important that you lay a good foundation every year for the following year, which will mm-hmm. build on what they've already learned. So I think that's something very important to keep in mind with math. And a lot of times when I end up helping, you know, moms whose children are in 10th grade or 11th grade and struggling with math, it all goes back to they never memorized their multiplication tables, or they never understood decimals, or they never understood fractions, which were years earlier. And so they need to take that time and go back and hone in on those things so that mm-hmm. their children are set up for success.
Right. And, you know, again, that is really important because that's where, you know, this Common Core is slipping in. It sounds really good on the surface. And, again, I don't want to segue into that because I think it could take a whole broadcast. And I am going to be covering Common Core in our current issues in the Constitution. We're going to be tackling that this week. And there's a great movie that has been out for about a week or so at the time of this recording, and it's called CommonCoreMovie.com, which is another place to get information. But, you know, that's where on the surface things sound so great because it would be nice to have standards across the board. And, you know, but we have to be careful because there are other things that go along with that. And so, you know, Meredith, in keeping with our mistakes parents made, you and I both have one more we want to share quickly before we take a break, and then we want to get into helpful tips for you selecting your curriculum. So what was your number two on your list?
Well, I put it number two, but I wish I would have put it number one. That's not using Christian curriculum. And that, I would say, is a huge mistake. And sometimes I've been unknowingly tricked into buying things that, because I thought all these Christian homeschoolers were using, that it was Christian. One thing that was really popular for a long time was The Story of Us, or U.S., and that was all about, it was a history curriculum written in more of a storybook form, like some of the older history books mm-hmm. are written. And I mean, it had all the things I don't agree with. It was exalting presidents who really did a lot of damage to our nation, like FDR and different people like that. And it was exalting socialism and socialist mm-hmm. ideas and evolution and things like that. And that's not what I believe, and I don't want to pass that on to my children. And even sometimes, you know, books that are, you know, they have all this great information maybe about plants or things like that, and we can think, oh, well, that's not such a big deal. But if there's mention of evolution or even things like millions of years and different things like that, that affects our children. And I think especially in the elementary years, it's very important to teach from a Christian perspective and to teach that God is the creator, there's a beginning to time, there's an end to time, you know, and just things that are coming from a Christian worldview. Sometimes Christians write curriculum that isn't written necessarily from a Christian worldview.
And here's what I would like to say, because Meredith and I don't want to just share specifics about, you know, curriculum that we really don't agree with. If you would like, you know, we're available on social media, so connect with us on Facebook, or you can, if you follow our newsletter online at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, all you have to do is hit reply and you get my email. It comes directly back to me. So if you want Meredith's email, I'm sure I can share that. I can share your email with her, and you can ask her specifically about, you know, a specific curriculum, and let's just do that. You know, because you and I agree, Meredith, especially if it's evolution-based, but also there was another sheep in wolf's clothing out there that said it was Bible-based, and it really did not line up across the board with
right. you know, some Christian theology. So, you know, that's important. And my second point is forgetting to look at the big picture and what are your homeschooling goals. And that really does dovetail into what you were saying, Meredith, because, you know, what are your goals and what are your plans as a homeschooler? Is it godly children? Is it academic excellence? Or is it sheltering your children from the world, which I think is fine, you know, because it's a focus on, you know, what your family really wants out of your homeschool journey, which is exactly as Meredith said, and that is choosing curriculum that is going to glorify the Lord. Sometimes I have picked secular curriculum, and in that case, like for a math book, I have been very, very vigilant in seeing, you know, what it is teaching. And you and I have been blessed, Meredith, because we began our homeschool journey so long ago where this really wasn't as much of a problem. I mean, things have cropped
right.
up. But now I would say to parents, even if it is a free downloadable product, you need to be vigilant because there are a lot of things, printables and things like that, that are, you know, all over the place. And that's actually my number three on selecting curriculum, so I'm not going to get into that into detail. But, you know, you have to look at the big picture. And if you don't have a family goal, I think I even did a talk on this at one point, and that I think I did it for Finish Well, Meredith. I think that was one of your challenging topics you gave me. But I have to look because I don't even remember what I titled that talk. But I know I talked about writing a mission statement for your family. You know, we
yeah.
write mission statements all the time. You know, I know your church has one, Meredith, that your, you know, your business has one. But does your family have one? And,
right.
you know, our mission statement as, you know, is, you know, that we are going to follow the Lord in all things, you know. And so you've got to look at that and make sure that that curriculum lines up with it. Again, you know, it might be a little thing here and there, which might not, you know, I'm not going to just chuck out all of the, when the kids were little, or if it had an Easter bunny on it, or if it had Santa Claus on it, you know, it wasn't immediately going to go in the trash. But if it was, you know, glorifying Santa over Jesus, you know, and that kind of thing, I think I ranted one time over at Christmas time. I said, if there's another sappy movie on that we're watching where, you know, you have to believe in Santa, I think I'm going to go nuts, you know.
Right.
You know, it sometimes gets overwhelming, you know, but that's what you have to look at. And just don't let that, you know, derail you. So, Meredith, did you want to say anything about that before we break for commercial and come back?
I think that you're right. I think that it is a good rule of thumb to read every single thing your children are going to read before you read it. Now, as they get older and they're reading harder and harder things, that becomes more and more difficult. So sometimes you can rely on friends who say, okay, well, I'm teaching this class this year. I've read the whole textbook, you know, and it was awesome, and it was a blessing in this. And or, you know, I just think that we need each other as the kids get older and
mm-hmm.
friends that you can trust
Absolutely.
Who have read the curriculum and, or you know the author. Like, I know when I get something from you, I can trust it because I know you and I trust you.
Right.
So I trust your walk with the Lord that you're not going to publish something that is going to undermine the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen, Meredith. And, you know, that's something, it's really become a smaller world where most of the publishers are online now and you can connect with them. You know, you can use social media for the good. I know some people get sucked into, you know, being online way too much. But, you know, you need to temper that, you know, with what works for your family, but also to be able to connect with some of the authors and publishers online because they will definitely give you their opinion and help you. And, you know, Meredith Curtis can be found at MeredithCurtis.com where you can look at her blog and also her books. And And so you can also connect with me at mediaangels.com, which is my publishing website, and as well as this network, which is Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, I'm going to take a break, and let's listen to our sponsor, which is the Ultimate Homeschool Expo. If you do not have a chance to get to a curriculum fair, even if you do and don't want to pay $7 to $10, I heard now, Meredith, someone was telling me that each audio presentation is on CD. This is a great value, especially as you're talking, as we're talking about selecting curriculum. There are some wonderful presentations from curriculum providers in the Christian homeschool world, and Meredith was co-host and one of our, our main speakers here. So let me just play a clip from that.
Have you attended homeschool conventions? It's something I love to do. It allows me to listen to amazing speakers, spend time with other like-minded friends, and purchase curriculum. However, after the conference lights dim and I'm heading home, the excitement begins to wane. And it is just for that purpose that the Ultimate Homeschool Expo was created. It's a convention in a box. Choose from one or all six ready-to-download conferences. Each MP3 file is easy to access and makes a great gift for a homeschool mom. Check out all our recorded titles at ultimatehomeschoolexpo.com, the encouragement you need every day. Brought to you by Media Angels Publishing.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Lunch with Meredith and Felice on the Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today we're talking about curriculum choices and mistakes that parents make. And whenever we talk about some kind of downside of choosing curriculum or anything that we're talking about, we want to give you some uplifting, helpful tips in selecting curriculum. Today is our topic. So, Meredith, I laughed because, of course, our number ones, the first thing we both wrote was pray. So I'm going to let you share your number one, and then I'll share mine.
Okay. The first thing to do when choosing curriculum is to pray, to talk to your husband, to talk to other homeschool moms, and because in the council of many, there is wisdom. And, of course, the Lord, we want to do exactly what the Lord wants us to do. And so we pray, we ask him, what do you want me to use for curriculum this year? And, you know, we hopefully hear from him. We begin to sense, okay, I need to look at this, I need to look at that. And then we get his confirmation through our husband, through our friends, through other homeschool moms we talk to. And so I think if we start with prayer, we can ask the Lord to, you know, protect us from advice that's not going to work for our family. And that's happened to me before, because I've been talking to someone and they're talking about a curriculum and I feel pulled in. I think, oh, this is awesome, this is wonderful. And then I feel this check in my spirit, like, this is a great curriculum, but it's not for your family. And so anyway, I think that God has a plan for homeschool, and he will reveal it and he will confirm it through people if we're inclining our ear to hear his voice.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. And, you know, that's, I had pray for number one, but my number one was, you know, how does the book fit your religious theology, which is, you know, in choosing Christian books, which is one of the things you talked about already, so I won't go into it, into a lot of detail other than to say that I want parents to really think about this and you know, just pray about this. We were going to the library a lot, and, you know, I know a lot of parents do because it's available, the books are readily available and so forth. And so we were buying different books or selecting different books that, you know, the kids wanted to look at, and I remember telling them, you know, this part's not true and this part's not true, especially if it was science-based. because my kids tended to go to factual things. They weren't the pretend type children very much. You know, if they did pretend they were, you know, soldiers or warriors or, you know, something that was a real thing. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a princess. You know, my girls did dress up, but not a ton. And so, you know, I was having to tell them that, but then I was pulling out the Bible and I was saying, okay, we believe every word in Scripture. And I think years later, I heard somebody speaking about that, and I can't recall exactly who it was, but, you know, part of what was discussed was, you know, we allow our kids to, you know, look at these library books when they're younger and tell them, you know, this and that is not something we accept, but then we're asking them to accept all of the Bible, and they begin questioning the Bible. Some of the questioning is very healthy. You know, we need to teach children to be discerning and to be open to discussion, especially with us. But when your children get older, they're going to question more. And I just want my foundation to be a very strong biblical foundation. And that is part of our family goal. And, you know, I know other parents may differ or have different, you know, purposes for their homeschooling, like, you know, their main focus is academic excellence and, you know, everything else is secondary. Well, our main focus is, you know, spiritual excellence and everything else is secondary. I still want academic excellence, but also I want that tempered with, you know, what is going to work for our family. So that's my number one.
I think that's awesome. I do, because I think if you lay the foundation with true truth, then by the time they're in junior high and high school, you can begin introducing other things and explaining, okay, some people in the world believe this, but we know the truth, and you've already laid that foundation of truth. And I think that is very important, especially when they're younger. So I appreciate what you said.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, you're number two. What is your second best tip for choosing and selecting curriculum?
And my mind just is completely blank right now.
Oh, I've got it. I've got it written
down.
Thank
you. I'm sitting here going, what is it?
Yeah, it was building a library of living books.
Yes, thank you. I'm a book person, and my homeschooling is books. And so my number two after praying is to fill your house with good books. And I put 75% of my curriculum budget into purchasing good books. And I'm always on the lookout at used bookstores, at garage sales, at library sales for classic books. And, of course, we accept and esteem in our culture so many things that are not wholesome and pure and lovely. And if you look at many of the books that kids read in high school, the newer ones, they are just not well written. They have, you know, they don't have good vocabulary in them. They're not helpful. Some of them don't even have good grammar in them. And so it's very, very important to get those classics out of, you know, out of the past and let our children read them. And one of the things that I did when my kids were in high school is I created all their high school classes based on living books. There are a few mm-hmm. classes that we went through a textbook with, but most of our classes were living books. And sometimes, you know, I'll be talking to someone and sharing with them what I did, and they'll say, oh, my goodness, there's not just one book. Well, I don't want to work with all these other books. But see, when you work with living books, when you give your child a library that they can go to the bookshelf and pull down a novel or go to the bookshelf and pull out a book on plants, you create a sense of exploration, a sense of wonder, a sense of adventure with learning, and they get to read books that are written to stimulate the curiosity, the mind, and, you know, the heart, and that really makes a difference. So I think children will enjoy economics much more if they read books that were written, you know, in a way that is encouraging and inspiring and funny, rather than just a dusty, dry textbook. So that is my opinion about living books. I think they're worth the investment.
Yep, and Meredith has an awesome book on economics, and we've used that. So it's really great. And so we're going to be taking some questions in just a bit as we get through the rest of our list here, and I'm going to just go ahead and give you my next two, and then you can comment on them, because the I totally agree with the library of books. In fact, I have wall-to-wall bookshelves up here in our second story that has all of our books, and I've been to Meredith's house, and she's got the same thing, wall-to-wall with all her books. So I've seen them all, and it's the same thing. So I totally agree with that, and that was one of the things I was commenting. While library books are okay for some things, we collect and, you know, have our ready-made books that we purchase for our library, our own library. And then, so my second point was look at your child's learning styles, and we could go into a whole thing about that. There is a great interview that I did with Kathy Duffy on the Vintage Homeschool Mom. So if you go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and scroll down and look for Kathy Duffy's name, you can hear that interview where we talked about you know, different types of curriculum choices, and I think she talked a lot about digital as well. And then the last point I want to make is free curriculum isn't always the best, and it can be a hodgepodge. And I know that there are some, you know, great things that you can get for free, and there's some garbage out there that you can get for free. So just remember that, you know, if it's free, it often is going to miss some of the sequential elements. And, you know, I know sometimes I will look for a specific thing, and I might run across, like if we're studying a particular thing in history and I want some things to follow up with that, you know, I'll run across some of these freebie types of things that are out there. And I'll look at some of them, and some of them are just, you know, not worth even the ink they're printed on. So just be careful of that, because I know some people really rely on those free things. And then the other, I want to go back a little bit about learning styles, that when the kids are really young, I think it's important that you do a lot of things that are inputting in so many different areas, such as, so I do a lot of cooking with my kids when they're little, because it's the taste and touch and smell and feel and, you know, all of that, which I just was redundant there, but you get the point. And, you know, you can do that kind of thing, but you'll find that some kids are just frustrated with hands-on and crafty things. Like I have one of those that just wants it in a book so they can read it and be done. So whereas another child just balks at the textbook workbooks. So again, look at your, you know, how you learn, and keep that in mind, but also keep in mind how your children learn, because we tend to teach the way we like to learn. And I found that out that, you know, that was one of the things that I found was difficult for some of my children, but, you know, my children that really had some learning issues really needed more of that hands-on. And that worked really well for them. And so those are my points. And then, Amaris, your last was, which kind of ties in with, you know, don't just get a bunch of, you know, free hodgepodge stuff. Your last point was basics rather than fluff. So Let's talk about that.
Okay. One of the reasons that's so nice now is because you were mentioning the internet, but you can get, like, recipes online, you can get craft ideas online, and that is, you know, but it's very hard to find free, really well written, you know, a writing curriculum or a phonics curriculum that is from a biblical perspective, or at least a not anti-biblical perspective. And so I think that if you can invest in, you know, like Andrew Prua and his writing curriculum, that it, that's worth the investment, because it's such a strong curriculum to teach your children to write well. When I was first homeschooling, for many years I used Understanding Writing by Susan Broderick, and that was just such an excellent K through 12 curriculum to teach kids to write well. And so when something is strong in teaching children to write or to read or to do mathematics, it's worth the extra money to have that curriculum, especially when you can use it over and over. And one of the things that is such a blessing now with Kindles and with the internet is many of the classic books you can download, and you can put them on your Kindle, and you can have an entire library with all the classics on it for free. You've got Gutenberg, the books, the Gutenberg site, and many things like that. So that is really a blessing. And I would say that I have enjoyed I've used many different Latin curriculums, and because I teach a year of Latin when my kids are in middle school. And I've tried ones that I liked and ones that I didn't like, but that, to me, you know, I'm not going to be able to teach Latin off the top of my head because I don't know it. So then that's worth it to me to invest in getting a curriculum that is going to be good and is going to work. And so I would say, just because everyone's on the bandwagon buying something doesn't mean that it's good. Try to find out, too, to tell if a curriculum is really good, is to talk to students who have used the curriculum and say something like, so what did you learn in science this year? And see what they do know. Because our goal is not that our kids complete a textbook and can take a bunch of tests and do well in them. Our goal is that our children know things when they're finished their year of school. And not only that they know things, but they're excited about things. There's a sense of wonder and curiosity and adventure about learning. So if you can find curriculums that do that, then you have found something good. And I would rather invest in some really good curriculums than a bunch of mediocre ones. So.
Right. And also, you know, the fact that, you know, people worry that their curriculum choices are going to ruin their kids. And the only thing I would say to that is, if they start hating learning and education, then you really need to look at what you're doing and what you've selected. I really work hard at having independent learners. But I've also learned that they can't just do everything on their own, and there needs to be some discussion. And, you know, obviously I check things, but it needs to go beyond that. And these discussions are really important for that higher level of thinking. And I think it really pushes them, too, to have the adult conversations and things. And I know that a lot of people use co-oping as a way to get that. And just with my youngest two, it has not worked. In years past, it has. And we're actually going to be joining a small co-op that's very specific in what they're going to be doing in the fall. Or actually, I think it starts this summer. But I would not do a full-blown co-op, just because I feel that we don't cover as much when we're taking the time to go and come and all of that. It just takes so much out of our day. And so my kids are heavily vested right now in sports, which takes another huge commitment, but that also encourages them to get their work done. So, you have to look at what works for your family. And we've got some really good questions here. So
But I wanted to talk about that ruining your kids kind of a thing, because, you know, the only thing I will say is if you follow some of the things that Meredith and I discussed today, then you will not be ruining your children. We can tell you we've had some great successes. Both of us have college graduates and kids, you know, that have just done really, really well. So, you know, I'm really blessed. I know Meredith is too. Well, Meredith, are you ready for some questions here?
I am ready.
Okay. All right. Well, the first is, how do you sift through all the curriculum choices to find something that works for your family, especially if you can't see it, try it out, and you don't have much money to spare? Really good question.
That is a great question. And, of course, that does depend on your children, because with younger children, it's so nice to do unit studies. And so I would say this. I know I already said this, but pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to use. I cannot tell you. We have had so many different levels of financial status. I don't know how to say that, but like some years we've had money, some years we haven't had money. And so every year has been an adventure. And a lot of times I would pray and say, Lord, please provide curriculum for me because I don't have any money. And someone would show up out of the blue and give me curriculum. And they would say, here, listen, I'm done with it. Would you like it? How much do you want for it? Nothing. I just want to give it to you. And I've been shocked. Well, the years I have the money to buy it, no one does that. So I always have prayed and said, Lord, what do you want us to do? And please provide. When my mom was alive many years, if she knew that things were tight, she'd say, hey, let me send you a few hundred dollars so you can buy curriculum. So it's really been a blessing. But I would ask the Lord to give you opportunities to see curriculum in other homeschool families' homes. And to be honest with you, I've actually, you know, asked people, hey, have you ever used this curriculum? Can I look at it?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about me is that I love, I'm a pretty hardcore reader in high school, so my children actually read at pretty high levels. So sometimes people will say they don't like a curriculum, but the reasons they don't like it, I know that I might like it because, you know, it's very, you know, intellectual, or it's, you know, reading a lot of classics or something like that. Then I'll say, oh, well, can I look at it? And then when I look at it, I love it. So, you know, whenever someone says they don't like a curriculum, ask them why. And then if they do like a curriculum, ask them why. Because you can a lot of times get wisdom that sometimes you know, okay, the reason they like this thing, it's all hands-on stuff. I know I'm not a real hands-on person. That's not going to go well for me, but I am a good read-out-loud person. So, but I would ask the Lord to open opportunities for you to meet homeschooling moms who let you come into their house and look at their curriculum. You don't even have to borrow it. You can just say, hey, can I? And I've had so many people ask me this and say, can I look at this curriculum? And I'll say, well, I'm using it, so you can't take it home. But listen, why don't you come over, get a babysitter, come over for an hour, and just sit and look at the curriculum. And they do. They just come over. They sit in my homeschool room, and they look through all the curriculum that they want to look at. And I've done that many times for friends, and I never mind doing that. So
I think that's a great idea. Yeah, and then I just want to add, too, you know, look at the return policy. A lot of times there is, you know, 100% return policy. So if there isn't, you know, then you may, that would be another indication not to buy something that is, you know, more on the more expensive side. I mean, I've had people who have ordered books and then, you know, just sent them back without asking first. And so then there is a restock charge. But if they, because I've had to mail it out and pay for shipping, so I just refund them the cost of the books and not the shipping. So, you know, and it just didn't work for them. If the books are worn, then I won't refund them. You know, like if they've used them and then, you know, 6 months later they're returning them and want a full refund. But
you know, you look at the return policy. If there's not one visibly listed, then ask that provider. And, you know, they may have, 100% return policy, so that would be another option, is just to go ahead and buy it, and you would only be out the shipping for that. And, you know, again, there are a lot of curriculum shows that are happening now, which is one of the reasons I wanted to record this. We're in April recording this, and if you're listening to this later, it's a pretty timeless audio. But, you know, there's a lot of shows going on, and you may want to consider, I know some of the homeschool vendor halls have that option to just go in and look at curriculum, which is less than actually going and listening to the talks. So that's another thing. Most curriculum providers now have PDF samples on their website, and that's another option to be able to go to their website and look through and see. But I think, you know, Meredith, you talked about, you know, even having like-minded friends that, you know, will share some of their ideas of what they like, and then, you know, realize that different people, you know, like Meredith just shared, you know, she likes a more intense reading program, whereas someone else may not. So that's another thing. And then the second question here is, are there reliable review sites and sources that would help us weed out some of the theological worldview and accurate curriculum? And that's a tough one. I'm going to jump in on that one. That is a tough one because one of them that I don't agree with theologically is actually published by a Christian curriculum, or, you know, the person says that they are. So what you have to do in that regard is, you know, look specifically, again, at some book samples and things like that, and then just ask people. Like Meredith and I said, we would be happy to share some things with you. But then again, remember, it's just our opinion and what works with our family and what may or may not work with your family. So, you know, and the biggest thing I think I can say in that regard is to pray and really seek the Lord, and then also look at the organization that is publishing it and just see, that may be a case of going to the directly to the publisher's site instead of just looking on an Amazon or even a Christian book distributors, because they're going to have a massive amount of different curriculum there, but going to the publisher's website. And then just to plug for publishers, I really appreciate it when people buy things from my website, and if you attend events like we are having today, those of you that attended live received a coupon code for an amount off of the books. So, you know, there are different things that happen. If you're part of an email list, a lot of times you'll get, you know, that coupon or that information from the provider that has, you know, some kind of a discount. And so just because we're small publishers, we really, really appreciate when people buy directly from us instead of going to, you know, a secondary source. So that's just my two cents. And Meredith, did you want to add anything about, like, I don't know of any specific website that might have, you know, because we don't know this person.
Well, I know that I do have some reviews on my blogs. If you go to my blog on MeredithCurtis.com and my blog, and you just scroll down to reviews. Now, I don't have tons of reviews. I may have 50 or so, but I do want to add a lot more to that of different, you know, because I do want to do that more. And when I make a review, I always mention the content, the worldview content of the curriculum, because I have been, you know, to be honest with you, just tricked into buying something that I thought was Christian, and then only to read through it and realize, oh my goodness, this isn't from a Christian perspective. So, but I would also, when you look at people's websites who publish, if you find out about the publishers, you can tell by the things they write and what they value. Certain people, they're not going to publish something that's not from a Christian worldview. So I would say, when you look at who the publisher is, and then go to their website, and don't just read, oh, we're a Christian, but read about the things they value, read their blog posts, things like that, and find out who they really are, because, you know, people can, a lot of people consider Christian, but when you see what people write about, how people talk, that gives you insight into what they value and how do they talk about the Word of God. And, you know, if you read a few blog posts, and you can also get more of an idea of the publishers.
Right. That's really, really good. Or even, you know, on their Facebook page, because that was pointed out to me at one point when I was also blinded, just because someone said they were a Christian and, you know, told me what church, you know, denomination they attended. And I just thought, wow, that must be like so-and-so that I know that, you know, belongs to that church, or I have a lot of friends that are that denomination that are amazing people and godly people. So, you know, sometimes we put this, you know, on this other person unwittingly, where they didn't, we didn't get into any discussion or anything. And when I started seeing, you know, a lot of worldly things posted and, you know, that kind of thing, it was really upsetting to me. And, you know, in this day and age, we just need to be vigilant. We've all made mistakes. Both Meredith and I have stated, you know, that we did buy curriculum, and even when money's tight and it's upsetting, you know, at least we have that ability and discernment, and I praise God for that, don't you, Meredith, that you are able
read
and discern. And that's what we have to do, is just pray for that. And we all make mistakes, and it's only money. You know, maybe only money we don't have, but you know, but the Lord will provide, and I really believe He does. So while there isn't a, you know, a place that I know other than Meredith, you know, blog is a really good place to go. Plus, you can see at MeredithCurtis.com. And I'm kind of giggling here, Meredith, because as of this recording, her last blog post was right before Christmas. But Meredith is also planning for
I know.
I'm teasing you. But you're planning for a big wedding, and you're getting your house together. And, I'm really excited. This is the first wedding in the Curtis household of her girls. So it's really exciting. So, you know, Meredith has been a little bit preoccupied.
Yes, I have.
Oh, gosh. Well, friend, I just want to thank you so much for listening. You can visit Meredith at MeredithCurtis.com, and you can visit MediaAngels.com. And thanks again for stopping by, for your great questions, and for your listens in the archives. We did not have a chance to deal with the Common Core question, but we will get to that on the current issues in the Constitution. And Meredith, maybe we can tackle that first thing in our next lunch with Meredith and Felice, because we've already gone over time.
That sounds awesome. Thank you so much for having me. God bless everyone, and happy curriculum hunting.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.